The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/earnings. netsuite.com/earnings.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
You're listening to Taking Stock with Kathleen Hayes and Pim Fox on Bloomberg Radio.
Very special show today. We're broadcasting live from BNY Mellon's ETF Exchange 16 here in Dana Point, California, where people are looking at ideas, innovation, interaction, and they're certainly looking at the regulatory landscape for ETFs, turning up the heat. That was one of the kickoff panels opening up this conference today. And joining us now is one of the panelists herself, Kathleen Moriarty. She's a partner at Case Scholer LLP. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
So it was interesting when I've been reading different reports about ETFs to kind of get caught up more on the latest. But a lot of the literature I've read, people are thrilled with the growth in the industry, but there's more and more regulatory scrutiny and steps being taken, and I think some feel, yes, we need it. On the other hand, it's maybe going to make some difference in the way ETFs can grow. What's kind of the big thing right now when it comes to regulation?
Actually, there are two. One is the liquidity proposal that the SEC has put forward about a year ago, and it will require portfolio managers, including ETFs, to start managing their portfolio in terms of how liquid the portfolio is. So instead of just paying attention to an index or a strategy, they'll also have to pay attention to how liquid their portfolio is. They'll have to assign different buckets of time frames to each of their portfolio securities, and they'll have to manage their portfolio so that they have a certain minimum of 2 to 3 day liquidity, which means almost instantaneous liquidity. And it will start to alter the way managers manage a portfolio, because instead of paying attention to the strategy alone, now they'll also have to pay attention to this liquidity proposal. Now, it hasn't been adopted yet, so we don't know whether it's going to be adopted in the form it is, or whether it's going to be changed, or whether it's going to be adopted at all. But it's certainly, if it is adopted in the form that it's in, it certainly will change how people manage portfolios, and that will have an effect on. And one of the questions is, how will that work with an index ETF, for example, or an index mutual fund? For instance, if you're following the S&P 500, let's say, and it turns out that your liquidity portfolio doesn't have the minimum requirement, you're going to have to make some changes in order to fulfill your liquidity requirement, but that may mean you're not following the S&P properly. So what does that really do? Because you've told your investors that what you're aiming for is to replicate the performance of the S&P 500. But if you start having to change things around in order to meet liquidity requirements, you may not make that performance. So there's some discussion as to whether this is even going to be applicable to index funds or not. And I think the jury is out on that as well. So that's the kind of thing that will alter to some degree how people manage.
I don't want to go down the rabbit hole with liquidity, but I think you raise a very interesting point, because the liquidity works both ways. You can look at it in the past in order to gain some understanding of the future, but the very nature of liquidity is that it can surprise you, particularly when it dries up.
Yes.
Are there going to be penalties as a result of this? I mean, if you make a good faith effort, and Department of Labor or other rules have to do with fiduciary responsibility, if you make that effort, but it doesn't turn out that way, what are the consequences? We don't know.
That's exactly right. We don't know.
So there's one we don't know, right? And Inspector Clouseau would have said, I do not know what I do not know. But that's hanging over everybody's head. I want to ask you a bit, too, about Bitcoin, blockchain, et cetera. A year ago, that's what we discussed, and you have been involved with working on setting up various kinds of companies, et cetera. So you know a lot about this. In the ETF world, where does that stand now?
There are two ETF products that are in progress right now, and they're both at the same stage, which is to say they are both in the process of having their listing rule adopted or not adopted, as the case may be. And without that, they can't trade. So the exchange, an exchange has to have a listing rule for every product that it lists. And there are many, many products that fit into a kind of a generic thing. Like if you want to list an equity security, there's a standard equity listing rule. You don't have to go and get a special rule. But when you're talking about a new product, you often have to you have to get your own listing rule. So both of these products are in that stage. And it could be as long as another 6 months or so before the commission will make its mind up one way or the other. It's also hard to predict now because of the political situation, you know, the election year, the fact that the commission is not fully staffed, if you will. So it's hard to know exactly what's going to happen, but it's in train. It's the best way I can put it.
Bitcoin is money.
Well, it is and it isn't.
A U.S. judge says says it is, correct?
A U.S. judge just
tell us that story.
Well, I don't really know the whole background because I only found out about it today. But apparently, there was a federal court judge who held that Bitcoin, in the context of the case, was money. On the other hand, a couple of weeks ago, there was a Florida court judge who held that Bitcoin wasn't money. So it's pretty much hasn't.
You pays your Bitcoin and you takes your choice.
Exactly. It's still an open question in America as to whether it is or it isn't.
Is there an area of the ETF world that you would say as an attorney is overregulated at this point? Because I know there are some people who are always a little bit concerned about people perhaps not understanding all the risks of ETFs and how they're structured. Is there an area where you would say, if you were at the SEC or something, you'd be looking at it?
Well, I tell you the truth. I think the liquidity thing is an over-restrictive situation.
It is not.
No, it is.
It is.
Is. I don't know what prompted this necessarily. There's some thought that the banking regulators either directly suggested it, or that the SEC in defense is trying to keep the banking regulators from moving into SEC territory. But
does it indicate that maybe they're worried about liquidity and that they think or they know something that we do not are not privy to?
Who knows? I think sometimes they're always being accused of doing things in reaction. So I think this is sort of one of those things that they think maybe we can do this ahead of time. We haven't had a liquidity problem, so let's make sure we don't have a liquidity problem. But I think that it's not. I think it's overly restrictive.
The
way it's written.
Right. But the liquidity issue is not confined just to exchange traded funds.
Nope.
Because October the 14th, we get a big change in money market funds as a result of what happened in 2008. And you may experience, if you own a money market fund, the net asset value going below $1 a share. And in times of stress, you may not be able to actually get the money out of the money market fund.
Yes. That's right.
That goes back to that liquidity issue.
That's right. That's right.
So what are your thoughts on that change in the money market fund rules?
I'm not sure. I think I've just sort of accepted it. I was sort of maddened by it when it first came out, but I think I've just sort of gotten used to it. You know, after a certain point, you see so many regulations and you figure, pick your battle. So that battle I didn't pick.
All right, what battle would you pick right now?
I would pick the derivative rule.
Give the detail.
Now it's too complicated to give you all the details. But
we don't have 50 years. I know.
In a nutshell.
Basically, what it's trying to do is extremely limit the use of derivatives. And this goes back a long way. This concern goes back a long way. And I think, again, it's kind of like using a sledgehammer to deal with a problem. That's not to say there are no problems with derivatives or there are no problems with portfolio managers, but to sort of, create a one-size-fits-all regulation that will prevent problems from happening is almost bound to cause problems in the long run.
So what would you do instead?
I don't know. I think I would be more selective about it. I would think I would. I wouldn't necessarily regulate it by percentage or what have you. I'd have more. Actually, more they do in the liquidity situation, which is to say, set your own boundaries. You know, have a justification for them and then follow them. I think that would make more sense than to try to do these. You know, overweening.
And in this context, we're talking about everything from, let's say, a triple leveraged exchange traded fund to one that's using futures or
anything, almost anything that's not a stock or a bond. Almost anything is a derivative.
Well, this is going to have an effect also on the kind of ETFs that are produced and the response to that, because we know there'll always be a way to try to get around it.
Of course.
Yes.
That's my job.
And that's why we love having you. Kathleen Moriarty, partner at Kay Scholer, telling us all about regulations, ETFs, and Bitcoins. Thank you very much. We are broadcasting from the BNY Mellon ETF Symposium in Dana Point, California. This is Bloomberg.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.